If you don't dispose of the unused prescription drugs in your home, they could end up lost, stolen, or misused. DEA Take Back Day is Saturday, October 26th. To find a collection site near you, visit DEATakeBack.com.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Go there today and you can find lots of things that you can't find anywhere else on the line relative to real estate. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Well, I had a caller contact me last week saying they couldn't find our past radio shows archived on the our website. If you go to our blog on the website, they're all there. So please, if you're looking for any past shows, you want to check on anything I'm saying, please, by all means, go to our website, huntrealestate.com, and go to our blog. It's all there. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing cost for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's our guarantee. Also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk. Remember that no cost, you don't write us a check, nobody a check, no cost or risk to effectively enter the market with a mortgage commitment in your hand so that you're equivalent with cash when you compete for a house. In many cases, you're going to be competing with a house depending on the price range and the type of house you're looking for. So call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 for personalized, customized, what we call knock-your-socks-off service, and check out that low-rate guarantee. And don't forget about the first-ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Our local number here is 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about in this region, and no matter whose listing it is, doesn't have to be ours, the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. And you drive by these signs, and there's 14 add-ons to them and pictures and telephone numbers and text numbers and all kinds of stuff. Forget all that stuff. Just dial 631-4800. Just remember the street number, and the system will take care of the rest of it. We have a very active real estate market out there right now, and I encourage you, if you've ever thought about selling your home, there's probably never been a better time in terms of realizing a high value, given the fact that inventory across the whole country within the large middle of the price range market is really, there's very little available compared to historic levels, which means that demand will cause, in many cases, prices to go up. So you may have more value than you know about. One thing you can do is check with one of our real estate professionals to find out about what's going on right in your neighborhood, right on your home, your specific property. 633-9400 is the number you need. And remember, when you stop into one of our open houses or bump into one of our real estate professionals anywhere, ask them this. Tell me about the seller security plan. That's where they can look you in the eye and tell you this, that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and Rochester Americans. And big game tomorrow. Hopefully, we will be able to walk all over the Miami Dolphins, which would be a nice feat, I think, for us, and a good thing for us. And the Sabres have had two shutouts in the last 7 days. That's an amazing thing. Facing 47 shots 2 days ago, that's amazing. And shut that team out, the LA team, that's pretty impressive. We are live on WBN 9:30 a.m., and if you'd like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930. If you're mobile, those are all free calls. You can even text us at 30930 and let us know what's on your mind relative to what we're talking about or anything relative to real estate. And we have a very special show for you today. In the studio with me today is Lynn Dixon. Ms. Dixon is a member of the Erie County Legislature. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here. Tell us a little bit about Lynn Dixon. I mean, there's the campaign's going on and people are getting bits and pieces, but give us a little color around that. Tell us a little bit about how you got in, place you're on
into
right
politics.
Now.
Yeah. Sure. So I was a reporter for 22 years before I got into politics. And so I worked small market radio and TV, where you make $11,000 a year and are grateful for the opportunity working 70 hours a week. And I came back home to Buffalo. I worked in radio in Buffalo, and then I started working at Channel 2. And I was at Channel 2 for 12 years before I decided to run for office. And it wasn't an easy decision because obviously it's not like many in the legislature, they own businesses or they are attorneys, and so they can continue their work while serving in the legislature. But me as a reporter, it's, you know, I could ask myself the tough questions, but I don't know that that would be very fair. So I had to quit a 22-year career to run, but I was sort of fed up with what I had seen and was willing to take the plunge and you know, not knowing what the results would be. So I did grow up in Amherst. I went to grade school, high school in Amherst. My mom still lives in the same house that I grew up in. My dad passed away 4 years ago. He was a South Buffalo guy. My mom is from Toronto. They met at a party at Crystal Beach. I have three siblings, and they are all in the area as well. Went away to school, West Virginia University. I have four kids myself. I have a son at Michigan State, a daughter at UB, a son at Canisius High School, which I may not have told the crowd yesterday at the St. Joe's debate.
That was selective.
Good, exactly.
Idea.
And a daughter at Hamburg Middle School. So raising them right now in the village of Hamburg. And the district that, when I first got into the county legislature, I represented a district that was suburban rural. It was part of Hamburg South into Boston, Eden, Evans, Brant, North Collins, Farnham, that area. And then when we downsized from 15 to 11 members, the very first time I had to run for re-election, it was a brand new district. It was all of Hamburg, the city of Lackawanna, and a portion of South Buffalo. So the area that I represented went from being suburban rural to suburban urban. And I've represented that area in the legislature for the last 8 years.
So one of the things that I find people have little understanding of is what exactly the county legislature does.
Mm-hmm. So actually the biggest part of what we do is a lot of constituent work, a lot of constituent services. When, you know, people call, whether it's about a bad road or they need their HEAP application or they have some issues relative to county government, whether it's sewers, et cetera, they oftentimes will call the county legislature, their legislator. We will advocate for them. We will try and help. Be problem solvers, really. We also, every October, the county executive proposes a budget, sends the budget over to the legislature, and then we will hold hearings with all the department heads, and then we ultimately hold a public hearing where we hear from the public about their concerns or what they would like to see included in the budget. And we can make amendments to the budget, and then obviously you need support of other legislators with those amendments. And there's always the opportunity for the county executive to veto, and then you need a supermajority to override any veto. So that's primarily what we do. Of course, sometimes there are laws that we enact and craft, but that's kind of a big picture of what the legislature does.
As you know, I'm sure the history of the county legislature isn't that long, really.
That's correct.
Prior to that, there was the Board of Supervisors, where the supervisors from all the towns within the county would get together, and I'm not sure what they did either, but they got together, and then all of a sudden somebody decided maybe we need yet another layer of government here. Looking back historically, do you think it has been a good move? Is there really a reason for the county legislature to exist? I know that's a dumb question maybe for you because you're there, but it seems to me that in today's world, you mentioned the downsizing that took place a few years ago. That was, I think, perhaps a reflection of what we had hoped would happen here in Erie County going back to the 50s, that our growth would right. continue. Well, it didn't. And so really realizing that, there was a push to reduce the size of the county government, which I think was a good thing. But, I mean, really, Are we any better off, I guess, as a county?
You know, it's a good question, but I didn't really live through the Board of Supervisors mm-hmm. time period, so I don't know how effective they were or were mm-hmm. not. I've always been a proponent of smaller government. I did when I first ran for office, I supported the notion of downsizing the county legislature and actually getting rid of our district offices, because what I've found, especially in today's world where, you know, phone calls, emails. There are so many ways to communicate that I didn't see the necessity of district offices like we used to have. And so those of us in the minority caucus, none of us have district offices. We go and we bring our work to the senior centers and to the libraries and do outreach there. So I can't say for certain which works better, but I'm always in favor of, and even though I'm in the legislature, I'm always open to those discussions, you know, because I think that we do better as a community if we put all options on the table and if we look at how we can do things better and be more cost efficient.
Before the show, we were talking about kind of the continuum of how governments get bigger, and I won't bore our listeners with that. I've done it before. But the fact of life is, over those intervening years and even prior to that, a bureaucracy has been built at the county level, which there is at every governmental level. And largely, if you talk to the, I'm sure you would have your opinion on this, but that may be a large part because of what the state says we must do here in Erie County. How much of our state bureau, our local bureaucracy at the county level is a result of what the state says you must do?
90% of Erie County's budget is mandated services that the state tells us. And that is growing because one of the things you can hear about something that the state legislature does and it may sound like a good idea, but then oftentimes what's not included in that legislation they passed is the funding piece of it. So, for example, the bail reform bill, that regardless of where you stand on the bail reform bill, it's going to cost, and we had DA John Flynn come before the legislature a few weeks ago and say it's going to cost him to implement just next year alone $1 million. We were told statewide it's going to cost counties $100 million. The bail reform. Now, we also look at the extension of the voting days. Right now, we have early voting, which begins on October 26th. That is costing Erie County $3 million just to do the early voting this year. Some of that is being funded by the state, but not all of it. So those are additional costs that we accrue. So you have these situations where they pass these laws and then they come to us and then we have to figure out a way to fund them. The early voting, I don't know how, like, I think when you break down vote per dollar, what it's going to, I don't know that it's going to be worth it. There are, you know, jobs or businesses and the public sector, you are offered now, there's a period of time where, you know, that you have off to vote. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. And I guess I don't mean to beat up on this, but where I'm going is very simply in one direction. And that goes to the mission of this show, which is to help our listeners protect and enhance their investment in real estate right here in our community and all the communities that we touch through this show. But it all comes down to really, when you look at the effect of government, you look at taxation. And in taxation, no matter what it's for, we can rationalize it any which way. And this is the financial dynamic. If your taxes go up roughly $60 a year, you lose $1,000 in equity. And how that works is very simple. $60 is about $5 a month. $5 a month buys you about $1,000 of mortgage money today. Maybe it's even less than that, less cost than that, I should say. Everybody tends to buy up to their limit of affordability. So if I'm able to afford $150,000 for a house, and built into that is the cost of the mortgage, and my taxes go up on that house or do go up in the year prior to me purchasing it by $60 alone, that will cost that seller, assuming affordability doesn't change much, interest rates don't go down radically, or people don't all of a sudden start making a lot more money, assuming one of those two things don't happen. And if they do, by the way, price will go up anyway. I lose $1,000 in value. And this has been true. And that's assuming one thing, and that's assuming that population, there's no population push, which will automatically push prices up everywhere. We haven't had that. So the impact of taxes is even more powerful in a community like ours. Do our people and your colleagues in government, do they sense this, or is it just a matter of this cost push that's in their face and they say, well, we've got to do something and the only way for us to do this is by raising taxes? And they don't ever put it that way, as you know. They say we were lowering your taxes because we're lowering the tax rate, the equalization rate, based upon the assessed value of your home. But if your assessed value goes up, you get whacked.
Yeah, and you hear a lot about the tax rate going down, and that's true, but your bill is still going up. So you can go to erie.gov, and you can go to Real Property, and you can type in your address or anyone's address, and you can see how taxes have gone up. Your bill has gone up. And we did in the county legislature, just as an example, and a lot of times they'll say, well, it's only a couple cents. It's only a few dollars.
Right.
But the thing is, it continues. And so a few dollars here, a few dollars there, like you said, with your comparison with the $60, it does make an impact. And I'm a single mom of four, right? So every dollar matters to me. We tried in the county legislature to cut the tax levy for the first time in over a decade this past year. We put forth amendments that would have not cut the services. It would have cut the levy, though. And we had 6 votes on a Friday. There was a meeting on a Sunday night between the county executive board and the legislators. We lost that legislator come Monday. And so then we no longer had the votes. And it was dismissed at that time as being, well, it's only a few dollars. It's only this. It's, you know, big deal. It is a big deal, because if you say that every year, then, you know, a little deal becomes a big deal, and it does impact you. So, when you have the opportunity, and look, when the economy is good and you have the opportunity, because most of our revenue really comes from sales tax, and when you have a good year, you should take advantage of the opportunity to give residents a break when you can.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I know there was this debate fairly recently about what to do with the excess. And there are, as always, a way to spend it. As we know, there's always a way to spend it. But in this particular session, as you know only too well, there was a pull from the culturals, among others. And the legislature chose to support those culturals, which are kind of at a critical point. I think you would agree that we have a cultural infrastructure that is probably suited for a city twice or three times our size. And we're very fortunate to have that. But it costs money. And you can only go back to the well so many times among private donations, particularly, and I want to come back to another comment that I'll ask you to comment on, my own little theory here. But the fact of life is that, you know, you can't keep beating people up. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there are institutions that require support because there's no place else to get it. And I know you have to balance that. What goes through the legislature's minds, and then how does that affect the debate?
You know, and everybody in every district, so you might fight for something that's in your district, whether it's the botanical gardens or an agency or service, Access Western New York, and you see the good work that they do. So you spend time there, you see what they're doing, and then you advocate for them. So it is a balancing act, always, like everything in life, right? As a parent, you balance life. You balance work life, you balance home life. As in the legislature, you have to find the right balance. And, you know, sometimes it's not getting the whole loaf. Sometimes it's getting half the loaf, but you are addressing that need in some capacity. And then you work, a lot of times with, you mentioned the cultural organizations, it's a matter of public-private investment. And so you do reach out to the private sector as well, or the foundations, to help fund a lot of these, either the organizations or the cultural assets that we have. I know a few years ago, at our public hearing for the budget, we had 3 moms that came to us. And they all 3 had just lost children to the opioid crisis. And at the time, the county was not significantly funding that issue. It has been on my radar for a long time because I'm a mom and I've seen it. And we have had forums in the community that I represent prior to that. But they were really asking for a bigger investment from the county. And they made such a powerful pitch, if you will. And as such, you know, from that came investment into some of the organizations more so than in the past, like Western New York United and Kids Escaping Drugs, because it was such a great need. And then the task force, the county task force, formed from that as well. So sometimes the needs change, too, in a community. Something that wasn't on your radar 10 years ago now is, or something that was an issue now no longer becomes one in a few years. So it's always evolving.
We have a caller on the line. This is Ken from Tonawanda. Ken, how can we help you?
Hi, Len. I've been listening to the debate between you and Poloncarz about the taxes, and it seems like he's trying to confuse the issue, because we had a couple years in a row where our taxes went up 8%, the county portion, to the point where I started calling him Dennis Korski, because we haven't seen him gone up like that since then. And my taxes, I don't know, is the library tax counted as part of the county tax or no?
So when you are looking at the property tax levy, it's what, you know, it's what our budget is. So it has gone up. The spending in Erie County has gone up 24% since 2012. We have a proposed budget before us now. If passed as presented by the county executive, that will increase it another 5%. So that means spending will have gone up 29% from 2012 to 2020. And that, you know, that is an increase of $57 million. So while we do face mandates that are an issue, the challenge is we also have fund balance, and we also have surplus that comes in every year. So this past year, we had a record surplus of $40+ million. The fund balance, and I want to just to go back to the red-green budget crisis, where we all remember what happened then, right? Libraries closed and parks closed, and we were in a crisis. But what came from that was that Erie County, from there forward, said you must keep 5% of whatever the budget is in reserve at all times, so that we don't have that same issue again. And so 5% of $1.7 billion budget at present. It was $1.4 billion budget just a few years ago. So we are now $1.7 billion.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought and come back to it, because I think it's very important that people understand that dynamic, because very rarely is it broken down. But we'll come back with more from our house tiers after these very important messages.
Mattress Firm Save Big Sale ends Tuesday. Save up to $400 on top-rated mattresses. Plus, get 0% APR for 6 years, zero down, and zero due at signing. It's as easy as sign, save, and sleep. And get a free adjustable base with any purchase of $699. Visit mattressfirm.com or a store near you for these great deals. Only at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Call 1-866-780-6220 for credit costs and terms. For new accounts, purchase APR is 29.99%. Subject to credit approval, valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. Huntrealestate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And soon we're going to be linked to our site in Boston, Massachusetts, too. And you'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, and we have many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before, that beautiful old house that looks wonderful, has all kinds of charm, but you know there's more to it. You want to know, you want to know before you close, and this type of mortgage allows you to do that, and it's the cost of all those improvements can be rolled right into the mortgage. And that's available only through Hunt Mortgage. 633-3700. Ask about our pre-purchase commitment and also even our warm home loan. And one other thing that I want to mention to our listeners, that if you've already gone to another lender and you're in the process of looking around for a home, call us at 633-3700 and we'll give you what's called a second look. We'll even pay you for that. If we can't beat the rate and terms of that mortgage that you've got, that commitment or whatever you've got in your hand, qualification or whatever, as long as we can verify it, if we can't beat it, we'll give you a $50 gift card. So you've got nothing in the world to lose. Available only through Hunt Mortgage, our second look program, 633-3700. And if you have a general inquiry about anything relative to real estate, call us at the Customer Service Center, 633-9400. That's the only one of its kind in North America. Ask one of our customer service reps to answer to whatever it is, and if we can't answer right there, we'll direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's a seller security plan. Stop into one of our many open houses this weekend. Ask our real estate professionals about that, and you'll learn a great deal and maybe find out something about your own home that you don't already know. I'm in the studio today with Lynn Dixon. Ms. Dixon is a member of the Erie County Legislature and a candidate for county executive. And just for the sake of fairness, I want our listeners to know that you may know that Mark Poloncarz, the current county executive, was on the show a few weeks ago when we had a lively discussion with him, and I hope you understand the balance we're trying to achieve here. Lynn, before we get back to the what you were talking about before in terms of the budget and how it works, we have a couple questions. It says, good morning, Lynn. I'm wondering how, by early voting, by bringing in postcard or not, how the people working in the booth are really going to know. I don't know.
I believe they're asking about the additional locations then for the early voting. Mm-hmm. And if you, how do you know it's you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't need to provide ID. And, you know, that's always a concern in voting, and it's certainly with the early voting. I've been told by the elections commissioners that that let's say you go to vote on the 26th,
mm-hmm.
That they can track that. So if you then go back to the polls on November 5th and try to vote again, they will have record of you having already voted. So the inspectors, the
even
elections
without
inspectors.
ID.
They will have what your name is,
mm-hmm.
And they will. The elections inspectors will have in the book that they have when you walk in that it will have indicated that you already voted. So,
but if I come up with another name,
in a perfect world, that's how it's supposed to work. But again, and that is understandably that is a concern that many people have expressed because. Again, a lot of times I think these laws are passed, things are passed with whatever the motive is for doing it, that it's not necessarily always thought through from A to Z. And so there is a concern by many that I've heard from that it's ripe for fraud. We hope that people are honest and mm-hmm. that in a perfect world it will work perfectly. But again, it's a big investment to make for what we anticipate not being a lot of people voting early.
Well, it's very interesting. You know, in other, I don't know if you've studied what's happened in other jurisdictions in terms of early voting and the percentage of people that actually vote early. Do you know what that is?
It's not very high.
Really?
It's not that high. Although, particularly in the first year that it's implemented, because people have habits mm-hmm. and that it takes them a while to kind of fall into a new groove. So, especially the first year that early voting is implemented, I think the expectation in New York State is that they will see very much higher voter turnout in early voting next year, and especially perhaps because it is a presidential year.
Before the break, you were talking about the reserve that's now required, this 5% or holdback. I don't know exactly what it's called, but tell us how that works. You're just starting to get into the math.
So it's a matter of, because when red-green budget, if you remember, there was the tobacco settlement money, and then there was the surplus that the county had at the time, and it was blown through pretty quickly. And then all of a sudden, what happened was there was a red budget and a green budget that the then County Executive Giamber proposed. The green budget was we increased sales tax, quarter penny, and everything continues on as it was. The red budget was we don't pass the quarter penny increase. And I was a reporter at the time, and I covered it on a truly daily basis. the red budget was, okay, so you don't increase the quarter penny, and then everything, you know, we start to see parks close and libraries close, et cetera. There was a big battle in the county legislature back then. And people enjoyed a huge tax cut, if you remember, during that period in time as well. So which the tobacco settlement and the surplus provided that tax cut. But so then they got to a point where we really were red-green. And so the county legislature at the time, it was a hotly debated issue. Ultimately, the county legislature voted to increase the sales tax a quarter penny. But because of that, and because of the breakdown of what happened, where things shut down, where county government, you know, we closed highway barns that never reopened, that sort of thing. So we said, so the county at that time said, all right, we have to put something in place to ensure that this kind of disaster doesn't happen again. And so that's why there is the requirement now that 5% always be kept in reserve so that there isn't this breakdown. Now, we haven't been in that position again since then. It was, you know, it was getting the county back to some fiscal stable ground and moving forward, that won't happen again because of it. But it was, there was, you know, that was a difficult time for Erie County government, for sure.
You know, I look back on that. We did a lot of talk about that on this show and in other places and around the community, including the Buffalo Niagara Partnership, which I know you're intimately familiar with. And, you know, it didn't seem to be as big a crisis to those people who really looked at it as it was made out to be. To me, it was a relatively simple decision. And, you know, do we raise taxes or not? And the choice was not, and then all of a sudden we had to anyway. So it really turned out to be nothing, in my opinion, but this major crisis, everybody's flipping out, and I'm not so sure it turned out to be that. I think it was just a good, you know, thing to talk about at the time. Back to the one question that came in about the voting, just that was clarification from this texter, that the question is, how will they know that I'm not my daughter voting early again? Would there be any way for them to know, really?
It's, you know, that's it's a good question for our elections commissioners. And I, you know, we've certainly asked them. It's Jeremy Zellner and Ralph Moore on a few occasions how this is going to work. And they're this is new to them too. You know,
sure.
They're trying to figure out because the measure that was passed in the state didn't have all the answers. And again, all whether or not you're posing as your daughter and then coming. So I guess the suggestion is you're going as your daughter to vote on the 26th, and maybe your daughter has different political beliefs than you do, and then you go again on the 5th, and you are you.
Or she comes in, correct.
And so. Without ID, I mean, that's why that's another issue that's always hotly debated, whether or not you should have to provide identification when
to
you
vote.
Go vote.
I mean, that to me is something I don't want to get into today because it seems, again, a lot more than it's made out to be.
Yes.
In my opinion. We do have a caller online. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter.
Morning, John.
Hey, Lynn. Listen, my mom's in assisted living in Erie County, so she's a resident and will be a voter. And I do a lot of business in Erie County, so I have a lot of interest in it. But in any event, we have a district attorney's race here and a county executive race here in Rochester. And I heard the district attorney, who's an incumbent, and she was saying that George Soros organization is funding her opponent by some huge numbers. She thinks she'll be outspent by about 3-1 or 4-1 in this campaign. Are you going to be faced with the same type of outside interference from these leftist organizations on funding?
I hope not.
It's an interesting question, though.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. I have actually heard that as well, you know, with a little over 2 weeks to go. I hope that's not the case, but you never know, and that's... It's always a concern when you have outside influence. I don't know what George Soros or why he would care about the district attorney's race in Rochester, New York, any more than he should care about what's going on in Erie County, New York. But I've heard that, and that's always, always a concern when you have outside interests that don't have any real vested, you know, reason to care about this community, and that's when it becomes truly just about politics and not about the people, mm-hmm. and that's a very frustrating thing about politics.
Well, and that's, you know, then the thought is that, well, let's just control campaign funding, and that will change everything, except for those people that already have a lot of money, and that's then they get an immediate unfair advantage.
Yes, yeah, that's right. When you have, and you know, I will say, I look at it both ways too, though, because I, you know, I could never personally finance a campaign, but I have had buy-in from people that have given me $5 to, you know, much more than $5, but they feel a buy-in to the mission, mm-hmm. and that's great. You know, I've had so many just small donors. I had a guy who sent me a contribution last week, and it was, he wrapped it, and it was a veteran in his late 80s, and the article about the Photoshop was the money was wrapped in that article, and that was what made him or inspired him to give me a campaign contribution. You know, I know they talk about publicly financing campaigns, but on the other end, when you have people that feel like they are a part of something, I think that's important as well.
Absolutely right. We'll be right back with more from Our House Yours after these important messages. Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. Everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, home of the low rate and closing cost guarantee, as well as the pre-purchase commitment and even the second look program. So please call today, 633-3700. Save yourself some money. You're going to be paying it for a long time, so you might as well get the best deal you can, and we guarantee that at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Lynn Dixon, who is a member of the Erie County Legislature, and we've been having a far-reaching discussion about government more generally and then government specifically at the Erie County level. And one thing I just wanted to come back to that you just touched on lightly during this red-green thing, and this was the most striking thing about that period of time, because they did exactly what governments do. And I'm talking about school boards. I'm talking about every governmental bureaucratic entity. As soon as there's a threat of a cut, they go to the most visible thing. School boards, they go to sports programs, art programs, music programs. County government, they go to the parks, right? I mean, give me a break. I mean, really, I would say that to you or any politicians. Yeah. You know what that's going to do.
Yeah, you know, you go to the thing that gets people most
cranked
upset.
Up. Yeah.
You know, the libraries.
The library, sure.
Branches closed and, you know, never reopened as a result. So, yeah, it kind of plays on the emotions of the public so that the desired result.
And I'm not beating up on you. Please don't take it that way.
Yeah.
I just think that you know, we're lulled into kind of just like you said earlier, it's only a little bit. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then it's a little bit more and a little bit more there, and pretty soon it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I do want to ask you about is something perhaps that neither you nor the current county executive or anybody locally can really control, and that's the impact of the state on really the whole economic climate here in Western New York. Let's take a visible example. State pumps a lot of dough in here through the Buffalo Billion, and I think that was it seemed like a wonderful thing, and I think in many cases there's been some good things done. Robert Joy has sat here and said that $50 million yield, $250 million in investment in the waterfront. Howard Zemsky has sat here in his very powerful role, and I think all things considered, delivered here as best anybody could from that kind of position. Yet we've got a situation here where a lot of the money from that Buffalo Billion went into one building, a big building, that is really underutilized, understaffed, according to the representations made. Forget the politics for a second. What's your feeling about this in terms of that kind of effective dumping of a pile of money here for a specific reason that's not fulfilled? What happens then?
You know, and I don't see the level of transparency at SolarCity either. And when you talk about $750 million, sometimes you're seeing public subsidies to satisfy political agendas. And with Elon Musk, who has more money than any one of us can ever imagine to combined, you know, can ever imagine, it's a lot of money. We're not seeing the results. They're not reaching their benchmarks. And I think about a $750 million investment that could have been broader, more piecemeal, more across our community, and the kind of impact it could have made. Now, I have said all along with Tesla, I would love to be proven wrong. I would be happy to say I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing it. And I'm not right now, it's $1 million a job. That's how much that investment has made compared to the number of people that work there. And I just don't see that that was the best. If we're going to do a Buffalo Billion and we're going to mean something and we're really going to, you know, turn this community around, look at Bass Pro. Everybody thought Bass Pro was going to be the thing that changed, or Adelphia, the thing that changed Buffalo and Erie County, Western New York. And it wasn't. There's not a silver bullet. It is this, that, the other. It's the way we think. It's the tax incentives that we give to businesses. It's the cost of living. You know, it's all that.
Well, let's deal with one of those things, the cost of living. You and I know, and everybody who's been on this show and everybody who I talk to in the community knows that there comes a point in time, if you've done well enough here in Western New York, where your accountant says to you, you know, you really should move because you're spending a lot of money for what? What are you getting here that you couldn't get someplace else for a lot less effectively? Florida, let's say. And by the way, the weather's nice in most months. So anyway, yet, at the same time, there's emotional connections to this community that are so deep and so strong. But and the fault, if you want to place it, is not at the Erie County Legislature. The fault is in Albany, because we, for years we've done just what you said earlier. It's only a little bit more. We can afford this program. It's only a little bit more. Pretty soon, a little bit more is a real lot more, and people are saying it's a real lot more than being in Texas or Florida or Arizona or someplace like that. How do you really look at this from a long-term perspective? Your vision for our community as a legislature, county executive, whatever position, as a homeowner, raising kids.
So take away the challenge of New York State for a moment, because obviously our politics are influenced largely by New York City politicians that just have a different way of looking at things than we do here in Western New York. So what do we do here? I mean, I think first with the ECIDA. So you have, in some cases, small businesses that have been here for generations. They've invested despite the fact that it's been difficult to do business here. But now we have an ECIDA that acts much more like a regulatory agency than it does to incentivize businesses. We have to change that. You know, with respect to the clawbacks, with the respect to publicly shaming these small businesses that oftentimes through no fault of their own have fallen on hard times. Maybe there's been a death in the family. Maybe there's been something that has happened in the economy that has just shifted things for a little bit. If you help get them through that, they'll stay there. They've already shown their commitment to Buffalo and to Western New York. So I do think we have to change the ECIDA. I think right now it's not working for us. Also with the adaptive reuse tax credits. Okay, so that has helped to change the look of downtown for sure and a lot of the older buildings, but we have to expand that beyond the city. We have to look in the suburbs too and use those adaptive reuse tax credits there. So that's another thing. You know, I say all the time, I am fortunate enough that I am one of four kids that grew up in Erie County, and all of my siblings are here. When my parents, when their bodies began to fail them, we were all here to help take care of them. But so many people do not have that. And I have four kids, and I would love to be surrounded by my four children when my body begins to fail me, which, you know, knock on wood, is a long ways away, but who knows. But in order to do that, you have to do a number of things. You have to provide. So when I talk about the ECIDA, but you know, I also think about we have manufacturers here that have business that they're wanting to do, but we have a retiring workforce who also is moving to Florida. So you have to look at what job opportunities are here, because we have an employment issue, not an unemployment issue right now so much. So train them to address the needs that are in this community, that are good-paying jobs that people could start right away if they were just trained. These manufacturers want to do more. They're waiting to do more. So those are a couple of things that you know, already would kind of change the feel that you're getting here, because we would have more young people that are trained and employed with good jobs. And then if you're trained and employed with a good job, then you're making the money, and you're making the money to invest back in this region. If you stop telling businesses no 10 times before you tell them yes with the ECIDA, then you are also giving those businesses an opportunity. So they're not going to pack up and move and say, you know what, this has become far too regulatory for us. It's too difficult to do business here. We're leaving. And then as soon as these businesses start leaving that have invested in this community, despite the fact that it's been tough to do business in New York State, they've shown a commitment. And once you thumb your nose at them, you know, everything else follows. So,
well, my business is geographically based, mm-hmm. but I can open my business in another town. I'd have to be effectively starting from scratch or buy a company there, which we've done. But the fact of the matter is that I don't want to leave here, and I know a lot of my friends don't want to leave here. But the compelling reasons to move are in people's face. You mentioned about retirees moving just because they're retired. And I think that, I mean, I once visited a family in their home, and I'm talking to them, we're going to list the house. And I asked them, so what do you do? And he said, well, I'm a school teacher. I said, well, why are you selling your home? Well, because I'm retiring. And you know, like, he had it down to the minute when he was going to retire. So what are you going to do then? Well, we've already bought a home in another state, and we're going to move. And so what happens? Those people, great retirement program, he moves to another state, he and his family, and the check is sent from New York State there.
Right.
That we are paying for effectively.
Right.
And this, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is wrong. I've been thinking about ways that you can do this without blowing the whole state up. One of the things that could be done would be for all the legislatures at all levels to say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to create retirement incentives. Turn this into a retirement community. Mm-hmm. We've got incredible facilities here for people to stay, just to do the thing that you said. So they want to stay where their kids are. Everybody wants to be, keep families together, as opposed to sending them 3,000 miles away or 1,500 miles away to just to save some money. Create some retirement incentives. And that would be a cheap way to keep people in town. Let them protect their capital here, which would be huge. And going to your clawback thing a while ago, I know one business where they were faced with a clawback, and they said, okay, we're closing.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of here.
Yep.
And by moving, he saved a ton of money in his own personal income tax, and jobs were created someplace else.
So we're treating so oftentimes business leaders as the enemy, like, oh, you're a big shot. But you're forgetting everybody that works for them and everything that they do in the community. These people are also serving on the boards, not-for-profits, and foundations.
And giving generously
back
to the
community.
And then the state comes after you and says, you still live there and you're going to pay taxes because you're giving to some philanthropic.
Right.
I mean, this is crazy.
It is crazy. But yet we keep allowing it to happen, because we keep voting in the same people and the same ideas and the same, you know, and that's a struggle too. One of the things that I had talked about with, particularly with seniors, to allow them to stay in their homes would be to allow them to go on a payment plan to pay their taxes, so that they wouldn't be slapped with big bills at the end of the year at the worst time that you could imagine, right?
So how many people don't even know about the STAR exemption?
Right.
I mean, this is shocking to me. We've only got a minute left, Lynn, and we could talk all day, because I'm just getting cranked up here, and I don't want to get carried away. It's been asked a couple times about the website that people could go to. What is that?
So Erie.gov, and then when you go there, you go to look for real property, and then you click on that, and you can type in the address.
Beautiful. All right. For those of you that want to know what's going to happen to your taxes, and I'm going to go there today, because I've got one issue I got to deal with. Mm-hmm. But the fact of life is that we all have issues to deal with, and I guess it's ultimately the responsibility of elected officials to help us deal with those things, but not just placate us, but come up with realistic solutions. Mm-hmm. Lynn Dixon, member of the Erie County Legislature, thank you for being with us
today.
Thanks
so much for having me.
Great to have you here. I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.